This morning we will talk about the cells that make up a human body. Everything in the plant and animal world is made up of one or more cells. The human body has some 100 trillion cells, they tell us. The cell is the smallest living unit. It is comprised of a nucleus jammed with chromosomes and other matter. Cells that form the human body have a sense of belonging to and identity with that body that staggers the mind. All of the cells in your body are marked with the identity of you. It's called DNA. Your DNA defines your body by stamping its imprint on each of your trillions of cells. Your body maintains constant vigilance against intruders. We talked about that last time when we talked about your white blood cells. Because of your body's propensity to attack and repel any and all foreigners, transplant surgeons have an extra difficult job. The body doesn't even want to adopt and accept organs that it needs when the original organs are injured or they fail for some reason. And even though your body needs the replacement organ, it does not want to accept it. Because the body recognizes its own, rejects everything else, transplant specialists must bombard transplant sites with x-rays and immunosuppressant drugs, and then try to sneak a kidney or a heart or whatever past the body's guards. Every once in a while, a child is born without an immune system. What's the problem? That child's body, instead of repelling invaders, welcomes them. It has no sense of identity. That which is harmful is not kept out. That which can destroy the body is not regarded as an enemy. Instead, it's welcomed as a friend. So they have to spend their lives in a plastic tent, untouched by humans, breathing purified air, because their bodies do not instinctively reject bacteria and viruses and things that will kill them. In normal, healthy bodies, if a cell doesn't have your brand on it, it's marked as an enemy. It's regarded and attacked as an intruder. Early heart and kidney transplant patients died not because the new organs didn't work, but because the recipient bodies would not be fooled. And even though the new heart cells worked and looked like the old heart cells, in fact worked much better than the old heart cells, even though they resembled the old heart, they did not belong. The body's code of membership was broken, been violated. So the body does what it has been programmed to do. Mobilize a defense and attack and destroy the intruding cells. The secret code of membership that defines you this morning lies locked away inside each cell nucleus, chemically coiled in a strand of DNA. Once the egg and the sperm unite, the DNA chemical ladder splits down the center of every gene. DNA reforms itself each time the cell divides into 2 and then into 4 and then into 8 and into 16 and 32 and 64 and on and on and on, each cell with the identical DNA. You could spend your lifetime just studying DNA. You could devote your life to a study, the scientific realm, and just study only the body's DNA, and at the end of your life you'd shake your head in wonderment at how much you still don't know in just this one area. As the cells multiply along the way, they specialize, but each still carries the mark of you. DNA is estimated to contain instructions that, if written out, would fill a 600,000 page manual. If your body's DNA instructions were recorded in written form, they tell us it would fill approximately a 600,000 page manual, about the size of a government pamphlet. Just your body's DNA. And your nerve cells and your kidney cells and your hearing cells and your brain cells and all of the cells of your body all operate according to pre-programmed instructions that tell those cells where to go and what to do and how to function. Just tell us that every cell in the human body possesses a genetic code so complete that the entire body could be reassembled, reconstructed from information in any one of the body's cells if we had the proper materials, tools, and know-how. That's almost unbelievable. They tell us that if all the DNA in a person's body were unwound and joined together end to end, the strand could stretch from the earth to the sun and back 400 times. Just your body's DNA, the instructions that it contains to keep your body functioning. I want you to know that when God made you, He worked a miracle. God didn't just start the universe in motion and let it run itself. When He made you, He worked a miracle. Psalm 102:18 says, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created to praise the Lord." When you were born, you were conceived, God did that work of creation. Colossians 1:17 says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Jesus Christ is before all things. The Creator God is before all things. And by Him, all things exist and all things consist. And God keeps the universe running right on schedule and keeps our world together. What keeps the universe in perfect harmony? What keeps atoms from exploding apart? What keeps our world from being pulled in pieces? A Creator God who's still in control. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. He's not a God who's detached from His creation that walked away and did not care. He's still actively involved in the affairs of men. He's still actively working in people's hearts. And if you're not saved this morning, I hope and pray He's working in your heart this morning to impress upon you your great soul's need of Him. Who arranged for this marvel that we call DNA? Do you really believe that perhaps it evolved? How then has our body by chance adapted so perfectly to perform its millions of tasks? How did it train itself to fight the battles that it must fight minute by minute in order just to survive? Your body is constantly fighting a battle. Oh, when we get sick, we're more aware of it. We're more conscious of it. But your body is constantly fighting battles to keep you alive, constantly repelling invaders. Bacteria fights an endless battle against your body. They tell us that 50,000 invaders may lurk on the rim of a drinking glass. They tell us that just by washing our hands, we wash approximately 5 million from the folds of our skin. You mothers remember that when your kids don't want to wash their hands, you can use that. 5 million germs are washed away. How has the body trained itself to such a fine degree that the cells that are produced assume their position and perform their function in the body automatically? What causes some cells to form as kidney cells, and other cells to form as red blood cells, and other cells to form as white blood cells, and some as liver cells, and some as touch cells, etc., etc.? What causes that to happen? In each 1-inch square patch of skin, there are 450 touch cells that perform a very definite and needed job for your body. Your eardrums have cells that have formed equipment so precise and so sensitive that they can detect sound frequencies that vibrate at 1/1,000,000,000 of a centimeter. That's a distance so small it is equivalent to 1/10 the diameter of a hydrogen atom. And yet your body can record all of that and respond correctly. How do those cells become so specialized. Chemically, your cells are almost identical to one another. But in appearance and in function, they are as different as the animals in a zoo. Red blood cells have been likened in appearance to lifesaver candies. Muscle cells are sleek and supple, full of coiled energy. Cartilage cells each have a shiny black nucleus or resemble black-eyed peas. Fat cells have been likened to bulging white garbage bags jammed together. Bone cells exist in rigid structures, and skin cells form patterns of softness and texture. They rise and dip in unpredictable angles so that every person's fingerprints, as well as their face, is unique. Nerve cells branch out spider-like, uniting the body with an incredibly sophisticated computer network. Every one of those and other cells are produced as needed by the body. Somehow, some way, your body manufactures what is necessary. Your body is constantly manufacturing new cells. And each cell that is manufactured is stamped with your own personal identification mark. Each cell has an important and specialized function to perform in your body. Even the oft-maligned fat cells have critical jobs that they accomplish. Fat cells insulate against the cold, and for that reason, billions of fat cells congregate just below the skin. Fat cells set up camp wherever they can find space around internal organs and muscles and between layers in the body. And so they cushion the vital organs in your body against shock. Fat cells fill in the crevices between bone and muscle and give a smooth contour to the body. Each fat cell is a storehouse containing a little yellow drop of oil. Most of the time, as an individual consumes enough food for his body's needs, those cells remain fairly dormant. Should the food supply be interrupted, however, then the fat cells discharge their chemical wealth into the bloodstream. Should you delay dinner because you want to finish chopping a tree down, for instance, a signal is sounded in your body's fat cells. And to your liver that needs more glycogen, or to your blood that needs more glucose, your fat cells give out the necessary ingredients. Your fat cells are your body's storehouse. They accept deposits and give out withdrawals to the other cells. They free the body up to do its job efficiently. If, for example, every muscle cell had to have its own pouch-like spare reservoir of energy, our bodies would be laden down excessively and would become a deformed lump, far less capable of doing its job efficiently. Instead, the fat cells of the body are the storehouse for all of the other cells in the body. The fat cells are necessary to sustain the other cells in your body. So don't be so hard on them. By the way, you've heard that beauty is only skin deep. Are you aware that fat is only deep skin? Sorry. There are amazing differences in life from cell to cell, and yet there are remarkable similarities as well. All living matter is basically alike. A single atom differentiates animal blood from plant chlorophyll, a single atom. Yet your body can detect the most minute differences. It knows its 100 trillion cells by name, if you will. Now, you can suppose that all that came about by happen chance, if you want. But deep down, I think if you'll honestly face the facts, you know that that cannot be. It becomes obvious the more you study. If you study without bias and without prejudice, it becomes obvious the more you study that something as great and as complex as the human body had to come from something or someone even greater and even more complex. Not something simpler and less complex, such as a one-celled organism millions of years ago. If you will study biology and science, and you will look into creation and evolution, and you'll look into it with an open, objective mind, it becomes obvious that evolution has questions it cannot answer. Not just one or two, not just dozens, but literally hundreds of questions that evolution cannot answer, because it does not have the answer. The Bible contains the answer. Back to the Word of God, it opens by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." That's smarter than all the evolution textbooks put together. You're here this morning and you doubt whether a creator God could possibly have made you, and you think you evolved from some little one-celled amoeba in a swamp somewhere. Then I challenge you to just even study your own human body. If that doesn't convince you, then study the animal world, the plant world. Look into the heavens and look at the grandeur and splendor of our universe. And see if you can't walk away as I think it all just happened. From a big bang that started out with a little dot smaller than a period. Oh, I think not.